Father in heaven, we thank you again for the day, and we open this precious book again, and we look to the Holy Spirit of God that inspired it, that lives in our heart to help us understand it, draw us closer to you, and may God be exalted as the Lord Jesus Christ has presented the way of life, and may the Holy Spirit be yielded to by every heart that's here, to whatever you have us to see, hear, or do, that we might be the vessels for you to use for God's glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to Matthew, first of all, chapter 13. Matthew, chapter 13. Talk about scoffers lasting, about the coming of the Lord. While you're turning there, recently someone made the statement. He said, boy, I tell you what, we got in a lot of trouble because of that apple on the tree. And one person said, it wasn't an apple on the tree, it was a pear on the ground that gave you trouble, amen. Think about that. And I like what they said, because that's true. Adam and Eve both was the pear on the ground. But we'll open this book today. And before we read the scripture, I want to give a little insight and give you the title. In this text here, Jesus mentions several ailments that afflicts many throughout time in their heart. He talks about this in their hearing and in their vision. And these ailments are not the physical type that can be cured by medical doctors, though they may have some trace of that. One ailment that I want to look at today that we can look and understand in the Bible that is called spiritual blindness. And when you talk about spiritual blindness, what does spiritual blindness mean? Or what is spiritual blindness? It's an easy term to say and think about. But in depth, I believe that it's more than what most people think about spiritual blindness. Now look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 13, and we see what Jesus said down 10 through a few verses about 17. I'm going to read pretty fast. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Now Jesus is speaking the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven here. He talked about the seed being sown, where it fell on certain grounds and so forth. And he said in verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then the disciples came and said, why speakest to them in parables? And then he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundant, but whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see and see not, hear and they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, one amazing thing about this to me is that they have the opportunity to hear with their ears, see with their eyes, and he's talking about not just physical hear, but spiritual that has to come from God himself. And he said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, to hear those things which ye hear and have not hear them. He said a lot of folks in the past had desired to understand by seeing and hearing what you hear and what I've just taught to you. I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 real fast like and look at a couple of verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 down about verse 14. The scripture says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14. The Bible says, but their minds, now he goes back, he's talking about the nation of Israel in Moses' day and how the veil was on his face because the brightness of the word of his face shining, and he talked about the veil being on the minds of Israel. He said, but their minds were blinded, talking about the nation of Israel now, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil was done away in Christ. He said they have a veil because of their blindness. They cannot understand the nation as a whole about what Jesus has done. But thank God, as you heard me say a few weeks ago, thank God, where the nation may be set aside, individual Jews can trust Christ, and that, he says, that veil can be removed by the Lord Jesus Christ. But that veil causes a blindness so they cannot understand what God is literally doing. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, he said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Why? Because verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And of course, if you look with me also, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, he goes a little further and he said, for the light afflictions, chapter 4, again, verse 17 and 18, he said, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh us for far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And therefore, to not be able to see those eternal things is also is a sign of blindness. In Ephesians chapter 4, if you look with me, and another verse, and it'll be the last we'll look at today for reference about my text, chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, here is what Paul said to the church at Ephesus. He said, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. What is the vanity of their mind? Closed up, that they don't see spiritual things, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That is, they are spiritually dead, not because they don't, many of them don't know, it's just the fact they have a blindness of the heart and refuse to trust Jesus Christ as Savior, and not realizing that the effort that's been given to give them the light has come through the Word of God, come by the Holy Spirit of God, come through the child of God who's caught the vision of witnessing, that people may understand that they can be born into the family of God. So what is spiritual blindness? Well, the best way to start this off, I think, is think about what is physical blindness. Everybody understands physical blindness. If you say, talk about physical blindness, and have you ever sometimes you put something around your eye and try to get around by not being able to see? You don't try it sometimes. And then think about a person who cannot see physically. Now, in this situation, physical blindness is not being able to see with the physical eye. Everybody will know that. So the fact is, a person cannot see with their physical eye, they're physical blind. Now, if you take, for instance, to try to describe to a physical blind person something, first of all, the person that they would be listening to, they'd have to believe and have to accept what they say is true because they can't see it. And by what they accept is true, then they would realize that they begin to visualize in their mind that they cannot see that which has been described to them. And this came to me a few weeks ago because there's a tremendous sunset. Now, we can't see the sunset here in the West like you can out where there's no trees and so forth, out in the Midwest of our nation. But you can see sometimes when it's just right, when that sun sets down, the beautiful gold, yellow, just like the sky just lights up. You and I can see that. Suppose that Brother Ken was with me, and I was blind, and he said, you know, Brother Ennis, he said, there's a beautiful sunset. Oh, it is? Yes. Tell me about it. I can't see it. Now, I either got to believe what he says or think he lies to me. Now, if I didn't think he'd tell me the truth, I don't want him to tell me about it. But if I believe, he'd tell me the truth. And he said, but listen, I want you to know it's the sun is settled down in the sky on the west. There's a golden yeller, it's like an explosion. It's a beautiful scene. And as he tells me about this setting of the sun physically that he sees that I cannot see, I began to formulate in my mind what that would be like if I could see it. And he could describe it as much as possible, and more he described in detail, the more I would visualize in my mind what that sunset was. Now, he could tell me, hey, it's black, it looks terrible, all that. It wouldn't sound good to me if he said that. But I'm saying I'd have to trust what he said. Hear me now. I have to trust what he said, believe what he said, if I'm going to accept it as a fact. Amen? Amen? If I'm not going to accept it, I don't even listen to it. But if he said, and I believe and I trust him because I believe if he would tell me the truth about these things, you visualize in your mind what you hear about what that person is saying. Do you believe the person or not? In this case, I would believe him as a friend. On the other hand, ladies and gentlemen, false information causes false images. Now, I'm trying to get to a point to understand why we need spiritual sight that God talks about. And most people don't know one thing about what he's talking about, spiritual sight. Because their idea about God is everything except what it really is. As a matter of fact, they're thinking about God is the type of something that they can converse with and almost see him in certain things. God is omnipresent. God is a spirit. And God has to do things to bring to see him in this life, like in a body of some kind. You cannot see a spirit with these eyes unless God clothes it with something. And God is a spirit. So he has given us an amazing thing. He has sent the Holy Spirit of God. He revealed his word. I either believe this is the word of God or I don't. If I don't believe this is the word of God, I have absolutely no idea who God is. I have no idea whatsoever who he is. I have no idea what he's doing. I may hear what's been said, but if this is not the word of God, it's no different than what it says. Because there's a lot of people on this earth today will tell you that God's everything except what this book says. So I'm going to have to know who I'm listening to. And that's the reason we see this morning when you talk about this spiritual blindness. In Ephesians chapter 4, 17 to 20, Paul warned the Ephesian brethren of the symptoms of their dreadful disease to humanity. In verse 18, he said, he talked about the blindness of the heart. If you don't have the knowledge of what God is doing, there's a blindness, not only mentally, but what's going on as far as the heart is concerned. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4, Paul mentioned those who were blinded by the god of this world, and that's what he says. Let me go back and read that to you. If the gospel be hid, he says, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and down about verse 3 and 4. He says that if the gospel be hid, it is hid to those who are lost. See that in verse 3? But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Why? In whose the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Watch this. God, who shined out of darkness, has shined into the innermost parts of our heart the light of God, the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I say amen to that. Because that gives us authority to say this is truth. Look it up. Either believe this is the book of God, the Bible, holy or not. If you do, then when he talks about if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Why? Because they will not let the glorious gospel of Christ come in. How in the world would, it amazes me that God gives man such a power to resist the very God by being able to make a decision when that's the best thing in the world they could do is receive him. They refuse to. Satan is a powerful being when it comes to the things that he's trying to get us to forget about God Almighty. So these were separated from God because they would not believe and obey the truth of the gospel. It's not that they could not, but they would not believe in the light of that information. Just like if Ken would tell me about that, and I could say, well, if you say so, I believe it. But I, in my mind, don't try to visualize it. But if it's true, I'm going to visualize it. And the same thing here, spiritually speaking. If this is true, I'm going to visualize in my mind. I know eye has not seen, ears not heard, neither in the heart of man, that God prepared for them that love him. But I know this, it can be whatever I think, whatever I see. It's many times more than that. You know what I'm talking about? Whatever I may visualize in my mind, because even being corrupt, whatever I would think that God has given in describing what heaven would be like, I know this is many times more better than that. So there's nothing wrong with me thinking in my mind what it's like, even though I have some problems with that, you see. I'm so grateful for this precious book. Now I'd like to give 2 points real quick like. Paul established the truth in these scriptures that blindness is a serious spiritual condition that leads to spiritual death. And he also established, just like we would, that blindness, of physical blindness, is a serious condition that leads to physical death. So if I talk about what is spiritual blindness, number one, what are some common causes of spiritual blindness? Well, the Bible certainly teaches us a worldly mind is driven by desires to satisfy the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which the first two leads to the pride of life. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 through 17. And when John said that, he gives us an understanding that this is something that is going to pass away. Therefore, why would one want to make it part of their life? He said in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not him. For all that's in the world, these three objects, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. This is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In other words, the things that the lust of the flesh and the lust of the world comes about is alcoholism, or drug addiction, or gambling, or prostitution, or murder, or abortion, and along with many other fleshly desires. Even some Christians are blinded by sinful lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, according to 1 John I've just read to you. Jesus said that if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch, Matthew 15, verse 14. So that goes back. If he as approach this, if God tells us about false teachers and those who are not representing God, if they're blind trying to lead people, they're blind leading the blind, and he said they both will end up in the ditch. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, then, of course, you know, they it can't be enough but disaster. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 16, Isaiah said that some prophets cause the people to error and lead the people of God astray. Even in 2 Timothy, look with me just a moment at a verse of Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And here's what Timothy says in chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. He said, for the time will come. You remember when he charged him to preach the word? Even today, many so-called gospel preachers are tickling the ears of people who do not have a love for the truth and are walking in spiritual darkness as a result of that and may not even realize it, because Paul told Timothy, as you look in chapter 4, verse 3, first of all, preach the word, be in sin out of season, reprove, rebuke, and so forth, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. After their own lust to build their own kingdom, they want to teach that which in turn will build their kingdom and not necessarily the kingdom of God. Then he says in verse 3, for the time sound doctrine, he said, teachers, for the time will come when they're not in sound doctrine, after their own lust shall heap to themselves teaching having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Interesting. Spiritual results comes because of false information, and God calls those people that teach that. They may open the scriptures but misinterpret the scriptures because they have spiritual blindness. Many religious people are being led astray by false teachers today. In 2 Corinthians, Paul warns us, and I want your eyes to see this again. In 2 Corinthians, if you look down about chapter 11, he warns us forcefully about what we should be looking for. Look, if you will, in verse 13 in chapter 11, Paul says this, for such are false teachers. Now, Jesus talked about beware of false teachers. He talked about them coming in our day. And he says here to the church at Corinth, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves unto the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the minister of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Let me ask something, ladies and gentlemen. How will you begin to understand if a person is not a minister of Christ and a minister of Satan? You can't unless you let the Holy Spirit teach you this book. Amen. So you have a reference to. God encourages us to study this book. He gave us the Holy Spirit to help us with this book. Now, there labels all kinds of people knowing everything. But ladies and gentlemen, I'd rather know what God lets me know than follow someone false teaching. And you can't do that unless you study this book. And God is teaching us that in this life. So Paul warned of false teachers of his particular day. When you look over in Matthew chapter 7, And Jesus again is talking in Matthew chapter 7. Look down, if you will, about verse 15 through 20. He said, "Beware of false prophets." Notice, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but the inward are of raven wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." He's given us information. He said, listen, you won't know, but you can take what is said and what is needed for a good tree and see whether it's a good tree or not for your own benefit. And he goes on, he said, "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire." And that's going to happen one day. Everyone will be, as he used as a metaphor, to understand what's happened. He said, "Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." Now, you can't judge them by their fruit unless you know what the biblical fruits are. And you can't know what the biblical fruits are unless you studied God's word to get that, or at least where it's proclaimed to try to encourage you. I believe when I preach messages like this, there are those who God will touch their heart, and they're getting in the book and start studying and learn more than I could ever teach about subjects like this. Because the Holy Spirit activates our hearts, and we are yielded to Him in this life. In Proverbs chapter 28, I thought about early this morning, I'm looking at this particular verse, Solomon said, in chapter 28, verse 10, he said, "Who causes the righteous to go astray in an evil way," he's talking about Satan, "he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the unrighteous shall have good things in possession." Let me read it again. "Whoso causes the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession." And God is setting forth. The question is, do you certainly, remember one time Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures," in John, "for they are they which testify of me." And so, do you search the Scriptures daily to find out whether the things that you hear are true, like the Bereans did in Acts chapter 17, verse 10 through 11? Or are you being led by blind guides or false teachers? Jesus called them, and if you go look in Matthew again in chapter 23, you'll find Jesus called them snakes, two-legged snakes. He called them vipers. Who are, as he described them, as serpents, of generation of vipers. Generations of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell, he said. Yet, at the same time, the first common cause of spiritual blindness is blindness leads the blind both to fall into the ditch. A blind person will lead a blind person to fall into the ditch. And that's talking about spiritual blind people, Matthew 15 and, of course, verse 14. Jesus said that. So the common cause of spiritual blindness is being given bad information and not being able to expect the tree, following something that may be wrong. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I believe this. I believe the Holy Spirit in us will give us insight to know truth, because that's all the Holy Spirit knows is truth. He's the author of truth. And He'll bear witness with our heart if we want to know the truth. We may miss some things because we don't know it all, but the essential things God will give to them. Number two, some brethren fear the religion's leader more than of God. It's interesting. Proverbs 29, verse 25 said, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved." And I pray this morning, God help God's preachers across this country to not fear that they will lose their job or popularity if they speak the truth and a controversial surface of some kind, but speak the truth with compassion, because I believe God would have us to do just that. And I think about it, and I don't, Jen, I get letters sometimes because of subjects we speak on, but recently, this past week, I got a letter. It was one of the blessed things on God's courtroom last week. And this family wrote and said, "You know, I know about the God's judgment seat, but I never seen it like God showed it to me this past week." And he said, "Preacher, I want to thank you for preaching with compassion in your heart when you talk about judgment. Because you could condemn everybody to hell." But what really brought my compassion about this is that God let us see there is a judgment seat for the child of God, and then there is a judgment seat at the great white throne of God for the unsaved. And I preach on hell hard. I believe in hell. I believe in the lake of fire. But I must never be afraid to preach on it, but I must never preach on it without at the end having a compassion for those who are lost. Because that's the only way Jesus can be part of us, and that's how you know truth is there. To preach on something that the world can just completely disown you and criticize you about everything, but in the end result, with compassion, God will touch a heart here and there. Touch a heart here and there. And when you do, God will give you insight from that person, because at first the thing they've seen, they said, all my life I heard the judge seat of Christ and never heard about God's courtroom like it was last Sunday. And I thank God for that. Some brothers hear the religious leaders more so than God. Thank God when this book is preached, so, and people hear God rather than just the person who's speaking. And especially if you go home and God touches your heart and you study portions of Scripture for yourself. So again, Jesus said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear them which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell, Matthew 10:28. See, preconceived judgment or opinion should never be formed without just grounds based upon sufficient biblical knowledge. And biblical knowledge don't come just being saved. You learn some things just by living, but you learn most things by studying. And God gives us that ability to do just that. We must always be willing to examine what we believe, what we teach, and what we practice, making sure that it's within the biblical truths, the Scriptures itself. Many souls will have been doomed because of false teachers. And you look at what Jesus said again, Matthew 15:7-14. Look in verse 7. Ye hypocrites, this is Jesus talking. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. Just be serious this morning. If Jesus said that when he was here, and we're living the last days, which man waxed worse and worse, then how in the name of heaven, when someone preaches that, they think that, well, they're just really off base. If Jesus said that, he said it for a warning. He said, put a flag up before our face. Be honest with yourself. Look in the mirror of God's word and let God speak to your heart, because if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit, and that's how he speaks. And then notice what he said. He said, the people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines the commandments of men. They draw with their mouth. They draw with the lips, but the heart is far from them. Now, let me ask this, ladies and gentlemen. How can you tell a person who speaks one thing and does something else? By the fruit. That's what Jesus said, by the fruit. When you look at fruit, you're not condemning somebody. They say you are, but you're not. You're looking at the fruit so you can be sure that the fruit that you have is correct biblical fruit. And that's why the Lord tells us this now. He said, in vain they worship me, according teaching for the doctrines of the commandments of men. In other words, a false teacher would teach for the doctrines of the commandments of men rather than for the things of God. And when it comes to the Word of God, God will back that up every time. So here again, we must be willing to teach and practice and make sure it's within the biblical truths of God's holy word. Here Jesus has reference to every false teacher in Matthew 15:7-14, and religion in this world. Peace and unity, listen to me, with God and his people are possible only when God's people believe and obey the book. There's two people say they're saved. If one obeys the book and one does not, if they're saved, they're not going to have companion with each other. But the odds are, if two people say they are saved, both want to obey the book. Because if a person who says they aren't saved don't want to obey the book, it's a good sign. The works prove, the fruit proves they're not a child of God. It's not judgment like the world says that you people just can't get along with anybody. It means simply we're looking at what God says for the link. Why? In the last days, there's going to be terrible times. In the last days, Satan's going to do miracles that look like God himself did it. How do you evaluate that if you don't understand what he's talking about when it comes to the false teachers around the world and so forth? So, what is spiritual blindness? Today, many people have changed their thought on controversial subjects. They say, I have already rethought some subjects and have come to a different understanding. Oh, yes, I believed years ago this, but you know, I've come along now and I've changed my whole mind about that. and their whole thinking is different. Ladies and gentlemen, it's nothing wrong to change to make things better, but you don't change truth. God don't have to change truth. Anything, life has to be. I hope that I'm much better now and what I'm doing for the Lord than I did when I started out 57 years ago. I'd hope I would be that. On the other hand, I must realize there are some things that I learned progressively and that would help me adjust like I should adjust in the Christian life, wherever I'm at in it, and same way with you in this life. Most of the time, this is only a compromise of biblical truth. They rethink something. Why? Because they compromise the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, don't never hate someone who believes the Bible as long as they believe it with compassion. Don't you understand what I'm saying? If they have compassion, that's an amazing thing. Because with compassion, God undergirds that doctrine that's so strong that where he tells us to teach about the return of the Lord, hell, you know, to be sure that your works will find you out and things like that. In 1 Samuel, I want to show you quickly, and I'm through. In 1 Samuel, won't you turn it over with me, chapter 3 in the Old Testament. And I'll paraphrase some of this for the sake of time. 1 Samuel, Eli, evidently, as a priest, had failed to retain his sons and restrain his sons because he was blinded by family ties. You remember Hannah never had a son. She promised God she'd give her son. She'd give him back to him at the priest, Eli. And where he was at, she had a son, and she took him to Eli just like she said she would and gave him to the Lord to work with Eli there in the assembly where he was at. And after he'd been there a little while, we don't know exactly how long, one night he heard a voice. I'll give you an idea. He heard a voice. He thought it was Eli. And he ran into Eli and said, Eli, talked to him. He said, here am I. And did you call me? And Eli said, no, son, Samuel, I didn't. Go back and go to bed. The second time, you look again, he did it. And he heard a voice. And the Bible says at this particular time, according to verse 7, Samuel said, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him as a young man. So he didn't really know what was going on in God's voice. He went back to Eli a second time and said, here am I. And he said, no, I didn't say anything to you. He said, go back and go to sleep again. In verse 3, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou hast called me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Samuel didn't know he was talking to him. And so Eli said to him, speak. When you go back next time, he says, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place in verse 9. Verse 10, the Lord came and stood and called as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And then the Lord said, isn't it amazing? Now, the first two times, when the Lord spoke to him, he didn't carry it any further because Samuel didn't acknowledge him. You see that? He thought it was Eli. But now notice, he said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now he said, Lord, thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down. And when he said, Samuel, Samuel, then Samuel said, speak, for thy servant heareth. Now he yields to God. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'll do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. Watch verse 12. For I have told him that I would judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice and offering. What a sad place to be. He said, "You, Samuel, you go down." Can you imagine Samuel now being with Eli, and he's a priest, and Samuel just got off the block. And he would go tell the priest. You mean, God, you want me to go tell Eli that his sons have crossed the mark, and because he has not restrained his sons like he should, he's going to bring this evil to you, and given sacrifices will not keep it from coming. Can I give you a parallel for a minute? Would you listen to me? There's coming a day. Every person who's never trusted Christ as Savior are going to find out similar to this, that there come a time that there is no alternative because they did not do what God said do, and every person who's at the great white throne judgment has those books and never been erased or ended up in the lake of fire. The great sacrifice of Jesus Christ cannot help them anymore. They have no more chances. God does put a timetable on how he deals with people. And he's saying, you tell Eli, I am not going to accept sacrifices anymore. Therefore, his house is going to have the evil on it. And Samuel said, He's allowed to hurt and go read further. And Samuel laid until the morning and opened the doors in verse 15 of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Well, wasn't you? I mean, you're just there. You've just been put there. You're a little, just God Almighty, old, just a young man. Eli's been there a good while. And God, you want me? You didn't tell Eli this. You told me to tell Eli this. And surely if I do that, Eli's going to destroy me. But then I liked where Eli was at. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son, and he answered, here am I. He said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. I love this. Hide it not from me. And I can just see Samuel. Boy, he don't know what God's going to do. Then Eli said this to Samuel. God do so to thee. Look in verse 17. And more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he has said unto thee. Eli knew something was there, and he said, Samuel, you tell me what God has hid from me. If not, may God give you more so the wrath he's talked of me. May he do it more so than what I would get. And of course, that got Samuel, he told him every whit in verse 18, and he had nothing from him, and he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Eli says to the Lord, he's going to do what, let him do what seemeth good. Ladies and gentlemen, God has not written this book to hurt us. God has written this book to inform us and let us know he's where he says he's at, and we're on the little planet earth. And this book has been preserved for our day to read. And as we read this book, God has warned us, and he's got a remnant, always has a remnant, that doing their best to stay by this book. Suffer, persecute, whatever comes. And we get more in the last days. We're going to see more and more of God's people suffering, not just on foreign lands, but right here in our own country, I believe with all my heart. After the third call by God, Eli said, hide not from me what God said, Samuel. If you do, let God actually do that more so to you. Now, there are many ways in which a person can suffer spiritual blindness. But no matter what way it is or which way one chooses, it is still a choice that one has to make for themselves. And I say to you today, I don't know, I may ramble as far as concerned, but the Holy Spirit can take anything you said and bring it to our heart. And when it comes to what God has to say from this precious book, ladies and gentlemen, there's many ways a person can have this spiritual blindness. But no matter which way one chooses, it is still a choice that one has to make. You listen to what God has to say, and it's still a choice to either accept or reject and say, Lord, help me grow that I may understand my place in this last days. There's only one right way, and I close with a thought. There's only one right way to heaven, and spiritual blindness is designed to keep a person from getting it right to go there. Would you at least say amen to that? If a person hears the gospel of Jesus Christ plainly and surely and don't trust Christ as Savior, that Satan has spiritual blindness lest the gospel of Christ would be seen. And therefore, they refuse to accept Christ as Savior. They can make a choice, but they refuse to do so. There is only one way to heaven, and spiritual blindness is designed to keep us out. In John 14:6, we know that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Even back that up at Acts 4:12, where there's another name being given unto heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. If the gospel be hid, it's hid to those who are lost. It's not hid if we would accept the truth of. And again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to read the verse I just read, starting out in verse 3 through 6. Satan uses spiritual blindness to doom souls of men and women in this life. It's that which he brings over the eyes that they cannot see Jesus Christ, who he really is. He brings doubt. He brings awful different things in their mind that it can't be so. Or I have my own way. I have my own idea. I have my own thinking. Now read again. Close the service. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Why? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. Then I like this. Now read it before and read it again. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And then I like verse 6. For God hath who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. And it shines in our heart to expect for the fruit. Learn what the fruit is, that God could use that message to shine in other people's heart as witnesses for him. It's the Holy Spirit that's witness to Christ. It's we who witness for Christ as the Holy Spirit uses us. He said to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, God has made a way to remove spiritual blindness. He doesn't do it like physical blindness. You can take an operation sometimes to do that. I've been told I could take my left eye. Now, the technologists say that I could probably see out of my left eye. If they ever get a chance and go blind my right eye, I'd have to work on it. There's a lot of things we can do, but no earthly person can relieve spiritual blindness through methods of science and things like that. It takes the precious Word of God, and God has prepared a way that you and I could have life. If you know somebody who maybe doesn't know Christ as Savior, it could be because Satan has brought a spiritual blindness to them in their own way through the eyes of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And that hindrance from being saved. And what a sad thing when it comes down to the end. They find out that what God has said is true. Let every man be a liar and God be true as we read this book. Would you stand to your feet? Father, I thank you again for the precious Word of God, Lord. I thank you for studying this. Maybe I didn't get across as much of what I see in studying. But I believe it all in my heart. It's an element in our age where Satan is literally blinding people's minds about who Jesus Christ is. And there's one case where they're just completely off records. Others are using him for different things. There's a lot of folks who use Christ to get ahead in life rather than go to heaven. What amazing thing that some people would stress him so much about the miraculous way of being helped here in this life and not think about the life to come. Lord, if I understand this book, you give us information about life so we could prepare not only while we're here, but also prepare, dear Father, to be used for God and yield to the Holy Spirit of God so one day when we get on the other side, we could look back and say, thank God he removed the blind scales off our eyes to see God while we're in a body of flesh. Look beyond the veil of the flesh and to the very portals of glory and saw Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. Help someone see that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.